And now, from the legendary 77 WABC Radio Studios in the center of the universe, New York City, it's the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, starring Rob Bartlett. And now, here's your host, Rob Bartlett.
Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett. This is my Radio Comedy Hour. And we're going to do something a little different this week. We're going to do a freewheeling show. We're just going to just keep the mics open, and we're just going to kind of be as spontaneous as we can. We may have some special guests come in one of the segments, but we're just basically going to be us. This is going to be like a hang. It'll be like you're in the studio with us, hanging.
I like that. But then won't they know if we're actually naked or not?
No, because that's segment four.
Oh, right, right.
We don't get naked until segment four, which you can only get on the podcast, which now, boys and girls, is available on Wednesdays. No longer does it go up on a Saturday after the show. You have to wait till Wednesday. Yeah. And believe me, it's worth the wait, especially for segment four, which is all the stuff we can't do on broadcast. It's all the salty language and the taboo subjects and we are naked when we record it. So so how was everybody's week? What'd you guys do?
Oh, great. We shot together.
That's right.
Oh well last weekend.
Well, I think the jig is up at this point. Just so you guys know, this is going to be officially episode 18 because I realized I screwed up somewhere down the line and went from 17 to 19, and no one corrected me, and I just realized we never did an 18. So this is going to serve as 18.
Math is hard.
It is. Math is very hard.
And you have a lot going on, Rob.
I do. I have a lot on my plate. But this will be episode 18, and that's why we're going to freewheel it. We were going to do this whole thing about it was going to be the lost episode, and you know we were going to make it seem as though we'd gotten drunk and... But not that we don't, because we do often, but we made it seem that we were going to be sitting around, you know, having dinner and having a drink, and which would lead to 9 drinks, and then we would also wind up forgetting to do the show. But we didn't. But this weekend, I have to say, we all shot some footage for the new Ruthless Spectator video series that we're doing. Many of the same cast members. And we're doing it for Amazon, boys and girls. It's going to be available on Amazon, and we're going to be really huge in Germany and Japan because it's going to be on DVD over there. So it's going to kind of be like Spinal Tap. We'll be huge in Japan, and then, you know, eventually our country will, you know, get used to us. But we shot a bunch of sketches. We shot a bunch of sketches, and this is like the third day in a row I'm with you guys. It's like we're almost...
Yeah. It's like heaven.
It's like we're dating almost, you know, all of us together. But we had some fun. We had some fun. And Mandy discovered a new stress reliever toy that everyone seemed to be focused on. And how would you describe it?
I would describe it as like an atom or a molecule, but it's large, and you squeeze it, and all these little bubbles come out, all these little balls, and it's just so satisfying. You can squeeze them all out. You can push one back in at a time. It's a blast. And it lights up, too.
It's basically just it's a net, right? It's like a white net.
Yes.
And it's a squishy plastic ball, which is filled with some kind of liquid.
Yes.
And other little tiny balls of different colors and a light.
Yep.
So when you squeeze this little net, all these little... growths, like they're almost like tumors, multicolored tumors start squirting out of the netting, and this is what.
And it, you know, it fascinated all of us, even our director producer Gary, who I've never seen crack a smile in his life. he comes out of the filming studio and he's like, "Mand, what do you got in your hand?" And I give it to him, and he lit up like a Christmas tree as soon as he squeezed that thing. It was like he loved it. It's this year's fidget spinner, I think.
Much better than a fidget spinner because it makes noise.
It does, yes.
It actually has a...
It's something different.
That's right. It's never the same. It's like snowflakes. Never the same way twice. A different color little ball will pop out of one of the holes and then will disappear. I think that brings us to the time when I introduce our lovely cast, the Rabio Radio Players. A man who... who always goes in the direction we don't want to go in, so we go in a different direction, formerly head writer of Saturday Night Live, Mr. Andrew Smith.
Yeah, Andrew!
A woman who's got, I guess, OCD, which is why she can spend 3 hours squeezing a stress ball with little colorful tumors that pop out, but a very, very gifted actress and just a delightfully guileless human being. Mandy Lee Pantyhose Thompson.
They're officially called stress mesh balls, just so you know.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yeah, all right, good. Good. Yeah, just get a little kickback. Maybe they can, be a sponsor. We'll get some free ones. Our engineer, musician, composer, actor, singer, and a court ordered hunk.
Hunk of what?
Just hunk. You're just a hunk. You're a hunky dude.
Aww.
A hunky guy. Steve Mecca.
Hey. What a hunk.
And the senior member. And when I say senior, it's not because she's old. It's just that she's been with us since the inception.
It's because I'm old.
The actor, singer, voiceover artist, vocal artist, like cartoon voices now.
Yeah, I'm really getting there.
She is the star of Dr. Mantis, Insect Analyst. She plays the title role, Dr. Mantis, Insect Analyst, which is winning, internationally winning, laurel after laurel after laurel. We have, I think, 18, Joe said the other day. We have 18 laurels so far. We're burning it up. But it's an independent short film, animated, and Megan's a star. And Megan Simard, everyone.
Hello. Hello.
Adding insects to her special skills.
Yeah, I've previously played a mouse, a reindeer, and now an insect. So just delving into the animal world.
So, but you're actually regressing. If you were a mouse and a reindeer, and now you're an insect. What's next, an amoeba?
I wouldn't put it past me.
I would put nothing past you at this point. We have some special guests who are here from Midtown South, the 14th precinct, or is like we prefer to call it, you know, if you're kind of a hip guy and know a lot about cops, the 1-4. We have officers Wilkins, Dookie, Meany are here with us.
Hey,
and Sergeant Callahan. Sarge, how are you? Good to see you, Rob Bartlett. You got your Harley Davidson t-shirt on, so yeah. you're undercover. Why are you guys here, actually?
Well, we were out actually painting over some graffiti in Midtown.
Painting over graffiti here in Midtown South.
That is right. We're improving the quality of life here, slowly but surely.
Painting over the graffiti. God bless you. Where was the graffiti?
It was for the lower Broadway area, 32nd Street, 31st Street. We're slowly going to go over the entire command, looking for places where we have problems with graffiti, and try to make it look a little better. Mailboxes, different poles and whatnot, what have you.
On the job.
That's on the job all the time. So.
All the time. Now, how long are you with the 1-4?
I'm with the Midtown South Precinct, about a year and a half or so.
All right, and where were you before that?
I worked as a sergeant in the 75th Precinct in East New York. Before that, I worked in counterterrorism. I worked in Queens. I worked in Harlem.
Ooh, back up. Counterterrorism, that's what we want to find out.
Counterterrorism. Yeah, I worked in the Critical Response Command. And those are the guys and girls you see around the city with the heavy gear.
Uh-huh.
There's also the canine unit within that command. There's a lot of different functions they serve. And they're the visible presence you see most often out there at major events, at parades.
So it's the show of force, basically.
Exactly.
Right.
They're highly trained in all different disciplines within counterterrorism, whether it be explosive detection, with identifying improvised explosive devices, keeping up on our current events on different groups that are, threatening the safety of our country and our city, and then going out to specific target locations and hardening those targets.
So, Sergeant Callahan, let me ask you this. What's the end game for you? What do you want to be when you're...
I'm a big fan of reading all different books by the leadership. I read Commissioner Bratton's, Chief Timoney's. And I learned something from Commissioner Bratton. He wrote in his one of his memoirs, the book, that I always wanted to be the police commissioner.
Really?
When he was a young officer or rising through the ranks, he had mentioned that he wanted to be the police commissioner. But I always say I want to be the police commissioner because what a great opportunity to be able to really impact. You know, as a sergeant, you can impact your unit, mm-hmm. your squad. A lieutenant, you impact a little more your tour. And then a precinct CO, commanding officer, you impact that whole precinct.
Mm-hmm.
But as a police commissioner, you have the entire city or geographical area that you have to find solutions. And there's some tough calls you have to make. But that's my end game.
You're going to be commissioner. Commissioner Callahan.
Yes, sir.
You got the name for it. I mean, that's perfect. Commissioner Callahan.
Yeah, it sounds a
Mayor Callahan. To be honest with you, they were talking about you.
I live in Long Island.
They were talking about you before you came in, and they only had nice things to say about you.
Oh, so. Wow.
So I think they at least deserve a, you know.
But these guys have been doing a great job. I mean, it's you know, it's tough in Midtown to, you know, we have a transient community, business folks and tourists, and to reach out to that community is kind of tough at times to get to find out what's going on and what we can do to make it better. And, you know, we have over 2.5 million people that travel here each day just for the day, whether they're working here. Most of them are strap hangers, you know, our workforce. And then we have the tourists, and it's how do you bridge that gap? You know, we have a very small resident community. They're very important to us, obviously, because we want to make sure that they're, you know, have a good quality of life here. But it's a challenge here. In other precincts, they have a larger resident population, and they have the opportunity really to touch base with their neighborhood coordination officers. But here, you know, we're trying to reach out to millions of people in the course of a day. You know, we're passing by millions of people.
And paint over the graffiti. Let's not forget that. That's the most important.
It starts with the most foundational things. You know, you walk around, you see graffiti on things, and it brings down certain blocks, you know.
Quality of life stuff. I mean, it's that's what you were saying before, this new program. It's the
Broken Windows, yeah. I mean, Commissioner Bratton really embraced that. And it's got a great place in policing because it starts, like you said, from there.
Uh-huh.
You know, one thing I do like to leave with everyone is the security of their property. You know, we have a lot of, these guys will tell you, people leave things unattended. And that's one of our largest crimes, leaving valuable things out.
Well, what was the strangest thing that somebody got stolen from them? Like, you hear about somebody's artificial leg got stolen, or
they've had electric wheelchairs stolen. I'm trying to think the most unique.
Now, how do you steal an electric wheelchair and like get away fast? You know what I mean? It's like
right, yeah.
Like you could probably outrun them. It just
exactly. The thing with policing is you have a lot of funny stories, but things sometimes they're funny, they're kind of macabre at times.
Oh, we love that stuff.
But I'm trying to think the most funny thing. Well, I have a funny story.
Here we go. All right.
When I worked in Harlem, I worked in Police Service Area 5. I think I told you guys this story. Early in the day, I went fishing with my friend, and we went on the boat, and I came to work wearing my bathing suit. And I get to my locker, and I'm like, okay, I'm with my uniform on.
Mm-hmm.
And I open my locker, and I have undershirts and socks, and I'm like, the most important garment you wear, you wouldn't think, your undergarments. And I didn't have any boxers. So I went on a patrol that day with my work pants on, and didn't have any undergarments on. And all I said to myself that day was, we're always chasing somebody committing a crime. And in housing, they have these little fences that are around the buildings. They're short. They're maybe 3 feet high, 4 feet high. And regularly we jump over these fence. And oftentimes they have spikes, and they'll rip your pants. I said, oh, geez, today will be the day that I'm going to have to jump over a fence and rip my pants and be quite the spectacle in Harlem.
And did it happen?
I know I ripped my pants that week. I don't think it was the week that I was.
So when Callahan went commando, there was no ripping of the
pants. But it was quite interesting to go out on patrol. And you guys are welcome to our precinct anytime. And as are your listeners.
Oh, cool. Where is it?
We're located on 35th Street between 8th and 9th.
Okay.
And everyone will see the substation in Times Square that's on 43rd Street will be opening later this month. They're going to have a grand unveiling.
Really?
Right in Times Square.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you have the date?
It is, I believe it's November 19th, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, November 19th. We'll plug it for you.
It'd be great if you guys do remote.
Sometimes.
Events.
Sometimes they do the station. I mean,
I think there'll be a large group of the higher-ups there on that day.
Well, we'll talk promotions and definitely see if they're interested.
But it'd be the grand unveiling of the substation in Times Square. What a focal point of the city. It's a great, this is going to be state-of-the-art substation and a focal point of Times Square bow tie area. And, you know, they get millions of tourists a day go stop over there and report their property missing or they're lost. You know, you get the multitude of things. So
I do it about once a week.
And this is Manhattan. When I worked in Queens and Brooklyn, where there's name streets, people there, you can spin around and really get lost. Here, yeah. We're kind of lucky at the grid.
Yeah, it's like there's only four directions you can go in Midtown. I mean, you go down to the Village, then it starts getting a little weird. But, you know, Midtown, it's left, right, up, or down. That's all you got to do.
It's north, south, east, and west.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Officers.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And once again, the program. Let's plug the program.
We are the neighborhood coordinating offices for Midtown South Precinct.
All right. And how can the citizens help you guys? Is there anything that they could do to just make what you're doing a little easier?
Just stay safe out there and...
See something, say something.
See something, say something, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Very, very important tool for everyone. Very important tool. We have a Facebook page. It is NYPD Midtown South Precinct. We also are on Twitter, and that's at NYPD MTS. You can find lots of valuable information. You can reach out to us and engage us in a positive light to see how we can make things better.
We are going to make you guys stars. We are going to, this appearance is going to make you stars. Wilkins, Dookie, and Alson?
Alison. Tom. First name Tom.
Right? Tom?
Tom Meany.
Yeah.
Tom Meany. I thought it was Alison Meany.
Well, you moved the book, so we can see. Yeah.
No. Oh, Meany. All right, Tom Meany. How did I get Alson Meany? You're undercover. So Officer Wilkins, Dookie, and Meany, and Sergeant Callahan, we want to thank you guys for stopping by the radio hour.
Thank you,
for keeping us safe here.
Thank you. Absolutely. Anytime.
South. All right. Well, those guys were cool.
They were awesome.
Yeah, they were really, really cool.
I feel safer.
That's right. That's right. And check out. Remember, they're going to be opening the substation in Times Square Monday.
Wow.
November 19th. So be there in Times Square to see the reopening of the substation. Our friends from the 1-4 Midtown South. I might get them as my security detail.
You should.
I mean, they could be my bodyguard this Friday night when I'm at the catch in Princeton.
Uh-huh. That'd be perfect. Yeah.
This Friday night, Thanksgiving weekend. Yes, boys and girls, making my triumphant return to Catch a Rising Star in Princeton.
Black Friday.
It's Black Friday. Why is it got to be black? That's what I want to know. Why is it got to be black? November 23rd, this Friday, and so go to catcharisingstar.com for tickets. And then Saturday night, I go back to just a part of my history, my father's place in Roslyn, the new My Father's Place in the beautiful Roslyn Hotel, this Saturday night, November 24th. There's limited seating available. It's a small club. It's intimate. It's very lush, very plush. You got to get in there now. Or you're going to be sorry. You're going to be sorry because you will have missed Salmonella's Night Before Christmas in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We're going to be back with segment two after these brief messages here on 77 WABC.
Yeah.
Back to the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. I'm telling you one thing, Sergeant Callahan, I think Gary's right. He's definitely going to be running for mayor.
Yeah.
That guy was a walking PR machine.
For real.
Unbelievable.
He was so eloquent.
He was. He was. And he had it down, man.
I know.
He had it down. He was very passionate about what he was doing. That's a good program they have. I was, however, shocked, pantyhose.
Who, me?
By the way, you just... fawned all over the.
I mean,
you absolutely gushed when these guys went.
I know.
You got the blue mystique.
I do. I call it fangirling.
It's more than fangirling. I mean, you were drooling. You were actually drooling. There was saliva dripping from your lips.
What's the blue mystique? What is that?
That's when you have a thing for guys in. No?
If the cop, amongst the cops.
Uh-huh.
And don't ask me how I know this. But. If they're in a bar or they're in any other social setting where they're not known to be a policeman, the women treat them just like they treat any other guy. But once they put on the uniform, it's magic. Women just like moths to a flame.
Really?
And they call it amongst themselves the Blue Mystique.
Get out of here.
Well, they definitely were employing the Blue Mystique because Mandy was...
Well, Mandy was a sucker for the Blue Mystique. There's no question about that.
No, please. She was all in. She was all in on the Blue Mystique.
You should see Mandy when the fleet's in.
I love Fleet Week. Oh, I do. It's my favorite day of the year. Every year. Or week.
I'm still kind of aghast at the fact that you didn't know what POTUS meant. That was one of the things that we discovered this weekend.
Well, I thought he was a person. Rob showed up to our film shoot with a wig, and I was like, oh, Rob, you're playing POTUS today. Who's POTUS? And he explained to me it means President of the United States. Yes, we know.
Yes. We know. See, we knew that. You, however, didn't. That was the thing that I couldn't believe, that you've been on this earth for how long and you don't know.
I know.
POTUS is. It's just, it's shocking.
I focus on other things. I miss, like, the big things that normal
people
because
she's not
know.
On Twitter.
It's because I'm not on Twitter because Gary won't let me.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
You got to get on Twitter. We're promoting everybody except for you.
Well, Megan's going to set me up. Actually, I'm going to use the POTUS thing. I'm going to be MODIS, Mandy of the United States. And I'm going to be like a prince, like Princess Modus, we said, right? Like Princess Leia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we should do it right now on the air. Okay. We should set you up for Twitter.
Here, Meg, here you go. My code is, you know my code. Can I say it?
See, that's sisterhood. Yeah, yeah. Why don't you give your unlock code on the air? What are you, nuts? Why don't you give us your bank PIN number, too, while we're at it?
All right.
I just can't believe it.
I'll take care of this right now.
How do you get through? I mean, especially being in the business, you don't have a Twitter account?
I know.
What are you doing? What are you doing with all this free time that you must have when you're not on Twitter?
I do a lot. I do get a lot done. I play with my dog, Hufflepuff, all the time. You know, she takes a lot of
time. This is the other thing we're going to talk to you about. You got to change the name of this dog.
No, it's
perfect. No, you got to change the name of this dog.
I've already come up with a new name for my next dog that will complement Hufflepuff, and it's going to be Butterbeer. So I'll have Hufflepuff and Butterbeer.
Oh, Hufflepuff and Butterbeer.
Yeah. I could go for a tall glass of Butterbeer right now.
Me too.
That is one of the most disgusting. And now you know, I will eat and drink just about anything. Butterbeer sounds so disgusting to me.
No, it's delicious. No,
it's cream,
you liked it.
It's cream soda with like whipped cream mixed into it. It's awful.
It's because I drank
the
What? Oh, please. Mecca.
Butter. Oh, no.
Mecca liked it.
We went to Universal, and we went to, the Harry Potter land.
Yeah.
And I thought the butter beer was going to be alcoholic, so I was like...
First of all, why drink it if you're not going to get a buzz off it?
So, it was just really sweet. It was like cream soda.
With whipped cream mixed in it?
Yeah.
Butterscotch. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Butterscotch. That's makes a difference.
It's delicious.
Are she? All right. Now, are you on Twitter?
Yeah. Well, I have to create.
We're setting up the account now.
Oh, you have to. Well,
Modus.
Figure out your name, I think.
Yeah, I think Princess Modus. But Modus has to be in all caps.
Yes, definitely all caps.
Yes. Because otherwise, people won't get it.
No, that would be bad.
Yeah.
Isn't Twitter dangerous? I mean, have you ever done anything on Twitter? I mean, I would never go on Twitter because you can't take it back, right?
No, you can delete something once you've put it up, but if somebody has already seen it, there's no way of getting them to unsee it.
Yeah, I mean...
I learned after I did a couple of penis photos.
No, but I mean, but think of all the people who have gotten in trouble because they've said something... And then they're quoted, and they can't take it back.
Well, some people seem to get in trouble for what they tweet. Other people can seemingly tweet just about anything and not get in trouble at all, no matter what it is. You know, people who tweet it at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, on the toilet while they're having their morning constitutional.
But it's indelible. You can't. I mean,
like I said, you can delete it after you do it, but if someone has already seen it.
They screenshot it.
And, you know, and the guys, our new friends from the 1-4 will tell you, there are ways that you can pull, even after you delete it, there are ways that they can find out, you know.
And if someone retweets it,
right.
Then it's out there
forever. That's it. It's out there forever.
And then the screenshots, too. That's what you do with the famous people.
Careers have been ruined,
no? Well, yeah, but you shouldn't be tweeting stupid stuff. We'll bleep that.
You got to save that for segment 4.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's the whole point of segment 4. If you're just going to give it away in segment 2, people aren't going to listen to segment 4. Yeah. Segment 4, by the way, for those of you who don't remember, it is the podcast-only content of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. And it's not available on a broadcast, so if you're listening to us on the radio, you can't listen to segment 4 unless you download it off the podcast.
It's exclusive.
Which is available on OG Podcast Network and iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher and Google Play and Ed's Podcast World. I don't know if that's a real thing.
Is that next to Bud Spurlow's?
It's actually next to Bud Spurlow's. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Yoko. You'd stop by.
I know, it's been a while.
Yes, it has been, but I want to visit my friend Andrew.
Oh, I know. You guys get along so well.
They really
do. Yes, because we're very close in age.
Yeah. Well, you guys, what do you guys usually talk about when you go on, like, your coffee dates and stuff?
Oh, it's sometimes at the doctor. Usually we go to the doctor a lot together sometimes, so we go separately. But we bond over our doctor visit. We talk to each other. I just came from a doctor, as a matter of fact.
Really?
Yes, I was.
What did you get?
I got a bill. I got a bill for a flu shot.
Oh, flu shot.
'Tis the season.
Very yes. responsible of you, Yoko.
Yes.
Did it hurt?
I had a flu shot, but I was disappointed. I didn't get drunk.
I think that was my favorite haiku so
far,
Yoko.
That was a haiku.
You recognize it? That was
yes.
a haiku.
Yay.
Haiku is a Japanese ancient art form of poetry, which is 17 syllables. 5 syllables followed by 7 syllables followed by 5 syllables.
Oh.
It's amazing how you can just slip them into conversation and people never notice, but not you.
We're so in tune with you now, Yoko.
Yes, you are. You know, it's been a kind of a melancholy time for me. I've been very reflective. I mean, where does the time go? I am 85 years old. Some wish I was dead.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, man, imagine that.
Imagine. Very well put there, Rob. I'm impressed with you.
That's Steve.
That's Steve,
yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Anyway, you know, it's just really ask yourself a question from time to time. Where does the time go?
You mean where? You mean where does it go?
Yes, like where does the time go? John would be 78 if he weren't dead.
That's not that old.
Another haiku.
Another haiku.
Yoko.
Mandy, you are on a stick tonight. You really got it going.
She's like a math whiz over there.
Yes, I came in the elevator with a bunch of policemen. They joined me in the elevator, and they were talking about this woman that they met in the studio.
Oh my gosh,
it's a young woman with brunette hair and a Grinch sweatshirt and.
That was definitely not me.
And a squishy ball.
They remembered me, Yoko?
Huh? Yes, it wasn't you, though. It was this other chick.
Oh.
Yeah, It was Megan.
I don't think so, Yoko.
Which one is Megan and which one is Mandy?
You always do this, Yoko. You mix us up.
Yeah, I'm Megan.
I'm Mandy.
I'm Yoko. Time for me to go.
Song. Are there any?
Yeah, do you have a song for
us? I do have a song. I have a special song all about our courageous men in blue who protect us every day on the streets of New York. You know, John and I, we're very supportive of our men in blue who take care of us. And so I wrote a song about them called Valiant Gladiators of Our City. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
Oh, profound.
Roger that.
Profound.
Yeah.
Roger that.
Yeah, Yoko. Thank you.
Did I miss Yoko again?
Oh, yeah, man. Rob, you always miss her.
You really need to figure out your timing on these things, Rob.
I really do. I really, really do. All right, well, that I think that's the end of segment two.
Oh,
We're going to be moving on to segment three, which will be the final segment here on the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour radio show. The broadcast version, but if you're listening to us on the podcast, oh boy, there is a special extra added segment 4, which is only available on the podcast, and it will be available on Wednesday. So remember, set your alarms on your iPhones. Wake up on Wednesday morning, check out segment 4 in the podcast version of the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour, and in which I will also plug, as I do every single segment, where I'm going to be this Friday night coming, which is Black Friday. I will be at Catch a Rising Star in Princeton, November 23rd. And then Saturday night, which is the Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend, when everyone's out, I'll be at the new My Father's Place in Roslyn. The old legendary club with the old legendary Epi Epstein is now in the Roslyn Hotel. And I'll be there Saturday night. So check us out. We'll be back after these messages right here on the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. May have another special guest stop by, so stick around here on 77 WABC.
Rob on the Radio Comedy Hour.
Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour. I am Rob Bartlett, and this is my Radio Comedy Hour. And we had some great guests earlier on.
For real? We had
four officers from Midtown South Precinct, the 1-4. Officer Wilkins, Officer Dookie, Officer Meany, not Alcimini, which I thought was his name. I don't know why.
He didn't correct you, though.
No, he didn't correct me until after they left. And he just went, by the way, it's Meany.
Oh, so polite.
I mean, he could not look more Irish, and I thought it was Alcimini. I don't know. And Sergeant Michael Callahan, who is his own walking PR guy. I mean, he's really passionate about the neighborhood coordination officer thing. And they're doing a lot. They're really kind of improving the quality of life in Midtown South. I mean, this I think he said there was like 2.5 million people who kind of pass through Midtown every day between tourists and strap hangers. And
it's wild.
The people who actually do live here. And they take care of the broken windows, and they paint over the graffitis, and they're protecting us. They're mm-hmm. they're not talking to the guys who are talking to the wall, but they're taking down guys with knives. So we don't have to worry about them. So, and if you want to reach out to him, his Twitter handle is michael.callahan@nypd.org. And say thanks, for what they're doing.
Precinct has a Facebook page.
Yes, it's the Midtown South Precinct. Mandy, of course, has already liked their Facebook page.
I did. It is NYPD Midtown South Precinct.
Okay, there you go. And you can see these guys. I mean, and they do a great job. They're a lot of fun. They were a lot of fun. And we're glad they stopped by. We kind of corralled them, so at least we had something to talk about in the first segment. I wish they had said, like, some really hot, nasty, dirty stuff, and we could put it in segment four, but they didn't. They were on their best behavior. They couldn't be any freshly scrubbed, good-looking cops, as Mandy has already figured out.
And for the time capsule, I'm going on record to say that Callahan will be mayor of New York City.
Yes.
Ooh. At some time in the next 10 to 15 years.
Yes, he's
Gary's really good at this stuff.
He really is. He really is.
He's like Nostradamus.
Sergeant. Yeah. I'm Fatstradamus, by the way. I will predict what I'm going to be eating tomorrow. Sergeant Callahan wanted to be commissioner. He was very influenced by Commissioner Bratton, but I think Gary's right. He's going to wind up being mayor, and then we'll have an inn.
Yeah, right.
Man, we'll be able to double park anywhere in the city.
I know, it'd be great.
Commissioner Callahan, and now Mayor Callahan, he's my uncle. All right, so now I have his business card, so I can write on the back, please extend courtesy to my nephew, Rob. So that way, when I get pulled over, I can just kind of flash that and get out of a ticket. So that's, which is the only reason we really brought him in here, was to get one of those cards.
Right.
And they also, they're going to be reopening the substation in Times Square this Monday.
Just in time. Hey, have you ever talked yourself out of a ticket?
Have I ever talked myself out of a ticket? No, because I'm the worst. I get so nervous. I get pulled over. I start shaking. I'm like, has the license been suspended? Yes, officer. I actually had a guy pull me over once because I was late for work going to IMUS. And I kind of like went on the side there, and kind of tried to go around people. And pulled me over. And he looked at me and said, Bartlett, you on IMUS? Said, yeah, I am. He goes, oh, yeah, I'll be right back. He goes back to the car. He puts my thing through it. He comes in. He goes, so I'm having a party Saturday night. I would really appreciate it if you'd stop by.
Oh,
just make an appearance. Just stop by. And like he had the ticket pad in the other hand. And he handed me back my license and registration. He said, take my card. My address is on the back. Party starts around 9 o'clock. Anytime between 9 and 4 in the morning, you want to stop by. I'd appreciate it. I really would appreciate it if you would. And so I that's the only time I got out of a ticket was by
But you got out of a ticket.
I got out of a ticket, but I had to go to this guy's party and, like, perform.
Was it a good party?
It was, like, 800 cops.
Oh, I'd be there in a second.
Of course you would.
Bring me next time.
Bring a copy of your new porno.
It's a Hallmark film, Rob.
It's a Hallmark porno. Those of you who weren't listening last week, which you can catch up on, It's episode 21, I think, mm-hmm. even though this is episode 18. We're not going to get into that now, but Mandy revealed that she went on an audition that she discovered to her horror was actually a porno audition, but she decided it was going to be a Hallmark porno,
yes,
which meant there was going to be unicorns in it and puppies. And
Right. Yes.
What was the tip-off, you think?
That what?
That it was a porno audition, but you think it was
because she thought it was for a commercial, and right away they said, "Okay, take your top off."
That's how they get you.
Well, that's what they do to me at every audition.
I struggle with that every day.
I do struggle with that because I need a man's ear. I mean, I'm a D cup at least. I'm at least a D cup.
Oh my God, Rob!
Oh, it's Linda from the network. We haven't seen you in a while.
I heard that there were cops here.
Yes.
Is everyone okay? Are you hurt?
No.
Did
we're
you get
fine.
Arrested?
No, we're
do
fine.
Do you need
Linda.
A lawyer?
No, we're fine.
Is there anything I can do for you?
Yeah, you can calm down, first of all. You can just relax, calm down, take a few deep breaths.
I put on my most sensible pumps and I just ran right down here. I was terrified for you.
We appreciate your concern, but it was actually fine. We have four lovely men in blue from Midtown South who came in to promote their neighborhood coordination
just
efforts.
To say hi?
Well, just to stop in. I mean, they were walking around the floor. Oh. I think they were probably in the wrong building looking for somebody else. And we decided to pull them in and chat with them for a little while. They were great.
Usually whenever a cop stop by my place, it's for an evaluation of sorts.
What kind of an evaluation?
You know, it's a big old thing. It's like they come in and they ask me a lot of questions. And then they bring me to a retreat for the weekend until I calm down. And then it's fine. But I've only ever actually been arrested once.
And what was that for?
It was in a Walmart on Black Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wouldn't... In the documents, it said that I trampled. I didn't trample. I was walking swiftly.
What were you looking to buy on Black Friday?
They had a great deal on crock pots.
And that's what you trampled people to get to? The crock pot?
I walked swiftly.
I'm sorry. You walked swiftly to the crock pot.
And human beings ended up underneath my feet somehow.
Okay.
And I blame them, really, because...
They were slow.
They were slow.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Robert gets it.
That happens. Yeah. I get it. I know exactly. Did you get the crock pot?
No. I was apprehended before I could. And then this, little grandma... She had the walker, and she was knocking people out of the way. With the walker. So between the handcuffs and then the grandma, I missed it. I just missed out on that. So that's what I'm hoping to get this Black Friday.
Your life is just one, smorgasbord of excitement.
You know, I feel like I live a quiet, meaningful life, Robert.
I would say meaningful. Quiet would not be one of the adjectives I would use.
Well, I have my interests.
Oh, hobbies?
Well, your fan club, for one.
Well, this is true. You are the president of the Rob Bartlett fan club.
I enjoy collecting stationery, so I can write you fan letters.
I noticed that the letters do come on different stationery all the time.
Yeah. I've been Google searching stickers for Black Friday specials, too, so keep your eye out on some glitter.
I'm going to get some glitter in my next fan mail.
Glitter bomb!
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you have any plans for the upcoming holidays at all? I mean, what do you usually do? Do you have family? You go to your family's house for Christmas?
Not so much. But what I like to do is just really treat myself. You know?
Do.
Yeah. So,
well, that's good. You pamper yourself. That's always important.
Yeah, I do. So, you know, like on Thanksgiving, I sleep in a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I check in with my... How do you say, doctor? Make sure everything's fine.
You're under a doctor's care.
Care's a good word. Legally, it's supervision.
Okay, all right. No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yep. So I check in, and we have a nice little chat, and then I make myself a little dinner, and then I watch some Hallmark movies, and then I write in my journal, and then I write some fan mail, and then I do some cross stitch. It's just a real nice time, you know.
You don't have any family that you spend the holidays with?
I have family,
but you don't spend the holidays with them.
They make other plans.
And I'm sure there are orders of protection that are involved as well.
Well, once again, legally, I can't discuss it on air, Robert.
I see. But you know what? And that surprises me because you are all heart.
I mean, I
Nobody's got a bigger heart than you do.
You know, I really think so, too. I'm really looking forward to the office holiday party.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
I'm making some big plans for us, Robert.
What do you mean?
Like, pin the Jesus on the major, and we're having a popcorn garland making contest, and I think we might even have a Santa blowout.
A Santa blowout? What's that?
That's when you take a bunch of toy Santas, mm-hmm. and then you put it in a gift box, and then you bring it into a field, and then you light fireworks around it, and then you watch them explode.
It's
so pretty.
Is it traditional?
It's tradition. Oh. Yeah, I used to do that when I was a kid all the time by myself.
I don't know why that doesn't surprise me. That is kind of amazing.
Yeah, so I'm making some big plans.
I guess this is probably as good a time as any to let you know. I drew your name in the Secret Santa. Somebody call 911.
I think there are some cops downstairs. Linda, get them back up.
Oh, yeah, of course. Why don't you go down and get? Why don't you go down and get the cops?
Linda's choking.
Yeah. Go downstairs, Manny. Get the cops. Get Officer Wilkins, Officer Doogie, Officer Meany, and Sergeant Callahan, because he's going to have to put out a statement for us for the press to let us know what's going on. You do the Heimlich. Keep your hands off her. Keep your hands off her.
Robert, I don't even need a present. I just want to spend time with you.
That's not going to happen.
We're going to have a date. That's what I want.
No. It's not gonna happen.
It's gonna be great.
No, it's not gonna happen.
We're gonna get sushi.
We're not gonna get sushi. It's not gonna happen.
But that's what I want for Christmas.
Okay, I can't turn it down. I can't turn it down. Okay, we will go for sushi for Christmas for you. Someone call 911 again. She stopped breathing. Clear. All right. Somebody bring her downstairs. Get one of the cops. I think that about does it for the show. I think we've had more than enough excitement for one program. We started off with the police, and we're going to wind up ending with the police. We're going to bring them back in here to kind of bring some decorum to the assembly here today. But I want to thank all you folks for listening in. Don't forget, this Friday night, I'm going to be at Catch a Rising Star in Princeton, New Jersey, and then immediately following on Saturday, which would come after Friday, November 24th, I'll be back at Epi Epstein's, my father's place, in the beautiful Roslyn Hotel Saturday night. This program is produced by Gary Grant and me, Rob Bartlett, written by Andrew Smith and me, Rob Bartlett, starring Steve Mecca,
yay!
Mandy Lee Thompson,
woo-hoo!
Andrew Smith,
woo-hoo!
Megan Simard, and me, Rob Bartlett. Original music composed by Gary Grant and Steve Mecca. No animals were harmed in the recording of this program. Remember, if you've missed it at all, any part of the show, you can get us on podcast at OG Podcast Network or iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher or Google Play. And if you are listening to the podcast right now, gird your loins, tighten up your belt. Here comes segment 4. The rest of you, we'll see you next week on the Rob Bartlett Radio Comedy Hour on 77 WABC.
Yeah!
Thanksgiving plans. What's everybody doing?
Mandy, you go first.
Okay,
I think you're going to have something fun to say.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to top last year's Thanksgiving because, as you know, my boyfriend, who's Constantine, who's in the show with us, but he's also on the Phantom of the Opera National Tour, and he was actually with me last Thanksgiving, and he brought a bunch of the cast members over. And Constantine, I don't know if you all know this, loves disc golf. It's this frisbee golf. It's really strange. People go out in the woods. It's this whole huge community. And he wanted to plan a couple's Thanksgiving Day disc golf tournament for the morning of Thanksgiving.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, we had a blast. So we all went, and we there was like five couples. Constantine and I, our disc golf team name was the Gravy Gliders. Can I swear on this section?
Yes.
Okay. The one of the cast members and his wife, Steven and Leah, they were the fucking turduckins. And we had two dogs. Hufflepuff came, and my friend Holly's dog, Marty, and they were a team, and they were the Wishbones. And then Jordan, who plays Raul in the show, and his wife Julia, were their team name was the winners of the first annual disc golf Thanksgiving championship are, and they actually did end up winning. So
that was the name of their team.
That was the name of their team, and they ended up winning.
That was pretty hip of them.
Yeah.
Why is it called Dick?
Disc. It's frisbee. It's not Dick golf.
I thought it was Dick.
No, it's not. Of course, you would think it was Dick golf. No, it's not. What are you gonna like?
Well, no, I mean,
you've got to look this stuff up.
Nice club. I mean, what it was?
Yeah, you know.
God.
You've got to look it up. I mean, they have different types, like just like golf. They have putters and they have drivers, and there's these champions. You can watch them on YouTube. They get holes in ones. No, they throw discs and they try to get them into a basket in the woods, and it all takes place. There are courses all over the nation. Constantine hits them up at every tour stop. He finds them. So that's what we did for last Thanksgiving.
That's great. What are you going to do this Thanksgiving?
This Thanksgiving, I don't have plans yet. Maybe I'll just do it by myself. He won't be here for this. Aww. This I know.
So you'll be going to your parents, or you won't be.
I will find something to do. I'll probably go to the clubs or something.
Well, what are you in? What are you in? What's Wicca? Meccan. What are Meccan? Meccan doing it?
Yeah, we don't know either. We're bad at this. This is the first Thanksgiving that I actually have off in many years.
So that's right, because you used to be in the service industry, and you used to have to work.
It was like one of the holidays I'd always have to work, and that was always just like a shit show. Yeah. And nothing describes the holiday spirit quite like serving 500 angry families were forced to spend the holiday together and spend too much money on pre-plated turkey. So it's a magical time of year. Yeah. But I don't have to do that this year. So really, the bar has been set so low. Yeah. Anything else is going to be better.
You got invites, right?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, we were talking about it before, when you have divorced parents, you not only have as one person, you have now if your parents are hosting, you have two sets of plans to make or to be invited to. But if your parents defer to their other relatives, now you have three invites on one side, three invites on the other, and then when you're a couple, multiply that times two, and now it's like everybody's inviting. And I'm a guilty, like I have like the Catholic guilt instilled in me since age six. So I'm like, so I'll be the one running all over, like trying, like make appearances at every freaking party.
Yeah, I used to do that. I go to White Castle, I get a Crave case. I go home and I watch March of the Wooden Soldiers, because that's the only time of year you can watch.
Thanksgiving at Rob's.
March of the Wooden Soldiers.
I think that's actually the first meal that they had.
White Castle.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, amongst the Native Americans and pilgrims.
Sacagawea brought the little box of steamed hamburgers.
Yes.
And the next day, there was plenty of fertilizer for the corn.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's how that started. That's just, they're talking about shit shows. do you watch the parade?
Oh,
yeah.
I used to have to avoid the parade to get to work, so I've never actually seen it.
Maybe that's what we should do.
Oh, well, watch them blow up the balloons the night before?
That's way better.
It's much better than the actual parade itself.
See, I would rather do that.
I know.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, way better.
Yeah.
Way better. I mean, I was in the parade one year, and it was better to watch the balloons get blown up. Yeah.
Thousands of people go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. That sounds like more fun than actually going to the parade.
Way better. It's because being in the parade blows. It's absolutely the worst.
When were you in the parade?
When I was doing How to Succeed in Business, we did one of the numbers in front of Macy's. You know, they do the Broadway shows, which they do while the parade is starting uptown.
Right.
They do all the numbers in a row in front of Macy's, and by then the balloons and everything are there. So, but they make you rehearse it,
right?
Like the night before or 2 days before, and we rehearsed it at like midnight because it was after a show,
right?
On 34th Street, right in front of Macy's, in the
pouring, and when I say pouring rain. We had, they gave us ponchos, and it didn't make a difference. We were dancing in the pouring rain.
Wait, they didn't cancel everything because of the rain?
No.
Then
2 days later was Thanksgiving, and every single cast member had a cold.
Right,
every single cast member was sick. It was the worst. But I'm telling you, they get it down to a science.
Yeah,
they really know what they're doing. Man.
I bet
they really, really know what they're doing.
It was like a couple years ago when it was raining and the Rockettes were just falling down.
Oh,
like,
left and right.
One.
That's the best part. That's the best part. It's like we're taking.
Want to laugh, but it's pretty funny.
I was taking action on the side. It's like, all right, which one's going down? I got $50 in that one over there.
Right.
It's better to, I guess, actually be in it than to watch it on TV.
Yeah.
Because I just can't stand Al Roker when he gets into that, you know, guess there's some foul play going on here with Tom the Turkey coming down. It's just, you just want to shoot yourself. You just want to, you know, you just want to bite his face. You just, it's awful. Just the fucking worst. I hate it.
It's part of his charm.
Oh, yeah, it's part of his charm. Let's see what's happening in your neck of the woods. I'll tell you what's happening in your neck of the woods. I'm putting up a sign that says, get the fuck away from me. That's what I'm doing. Kids table. You ever sit at the kids table?
Yeah.
I try to even now.
Well, because they're the ones that have the most fun, because what they're doing is they're making fun of everybody else at the adults table.
That's right.
That's what we used to do.
Kids table's where it's at.
Yeah.
We never had a kids table.
Because you never had kids.
No. I mean, when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
You know, but so we all sat at a big table.
Right.
And then I would go underneath the table during the dinner.
Oh, here it comes.
What?
And what would you do under the table, Andrew? He asked, knowing full well what Andrew was going to do under the table.
Look around.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Hey, this is segment five.
That's four.
Look around. Is it a turkey?
One segment ahead.
Did it involve a dental mirror? I mean, this is what we need to know.
Some stuffing. Yes. You know what I'm saying? You know?
By the way, speaking of stuffing.
Yeah.
White Castle.
Yeah. They have stuff.
You bust up a couple of White Castles and you stick that in your bird. That's eaten. That's good eating, folks. Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Actually, does
sound. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, because it's bread.
And meat.
And it's got meat. It's like a sausage stuffing, except it's meat, and it's awful enough for you that it makes it work, you know?
Wow.
And it beats deep-fried turkey or sous-vide turkey. That's the other thing that they just started to do, is sous-vide turkey. Sous-vide is when they vacuum seal it in plastic, and then they put it in a water bath at a certain temperature, and then what happens is it raises the temperature of the meat to whatever that temperature is. So for turkey, I think it's like 160 degrees Fahrenheit, and you put it in, and 24 hours later, you have a turkey. The problem is it cooks in its own juice, so there's no golden brown color, crispy skin. It looks like you've just boiled a baby.
It's just right,
but tender.
I bet
juicy like you can't believe.
I mean, the French do things so well, but I wouldn't trust them with Thanksgiving.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. It just.
Did you ever have anything besides turkey for? I mean, a lot of people like cook a goose or.
No. One year we went to a restaurant, and I had a steak. Because I'm not a big fan of turkey to begin with. I'm all about the pie.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Pumpkin pie?
Pumpkin pie, apple pie, cherry pie, coconut custard pie.
I like blueberry pie.
Okay.
All right. Blueberry pie is a definite go-to pie.
But other than that, a pie.
Oh, come on. A nice apple pie with a little melted cheddar cheese.
But I'm not into pie.
No.
Nice pumpkin pie with a little whipped cream on it. All right, that's it. That was segment four. I'm so glad you decided to stick around for this one this week. What were you saying, Andrew?
I was steward of my fraternity, you know.
Yes.
Which I picked all the meals. We used to serve pear pie.
Pear pie?
Yeah, because it's...
go ahead. What? Right. Well, I don't know. What's in pear pie?
Hair. Hair.
Yeah.
Oh, hair pie. I thought you said pear pie.
Jeez.
Oh, boy. Well, yes. I'm sure it is. But now that's really unappetizing at this particular moment.
Lots of protein, though.
Yeah.
And kind of like a sous vide turkey. That about does it for this week, folks. We'll see you next week.